It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Yeah, all right. Good evening. Welcome in. Just give me a moment, would you? I don't want to give you the final score right now. Steve Stewart just told you what the final score was. If you're listening on the podcast, don't worry about what the final score was. You know what? I don't think I've ever received more pity in my life than I have this season. From friends, family, listeners, people that I bump into at Kauffman Stadium, people that work for the Royals. I don't know if they mean it in a friendly way, but yeah, very often this season, people have come up to me and, oh, Vern, I don't know how you do it. Oh, it's got to be so tough. I've received more pity this season than, well, certainly more than I deserve and more than I've ever received in my life. And I honestly find it offensive, to be quite honest with you. Co-workers, again, friends, family, it annoys me. It drives me crazy, to be quite honest. I'm married to a nurse. I have teachers in my family. I know police officers and firefighters, those that are, you know, doing truly difficult work, hard work, draining work, at times depressing work. I cover baseball. You know, it drives me nuts. And again, yes, I find it offensive. It annoys me. This is my dream. I get to cover a Major League Baseball team every single day. So I haven't really understood why I've received so much pity this season. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I now want, no, I still don't deserve the pity. But 15-2 is the final score. Royals get absolutely bludgeoned in Game 2 in Seattle. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Top to bottom, beginning to end, nothing good to say. Well, other than this, let this game today, let this series, let this season serve as a reminder of just how far this team has to go. If you and I want this Royals ball club to compete once again for October glory, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And I mentioned it earlier today on the On Deck Show, maybe I'm partly to blame. I'd like to think that I start a few conversations among Royals fans, especially on this show. But I feel as if I've done a poor job of truly laying out just how much is needed. Now, there's so much that I'm in control of. It's an evaluation season, and the more games that go by, the more that you and I are able to evaluate. There's no way that I could have properly presented the amount of holes that this team has back in May, or in June, or even July. No, I needed 131 games to get to where I'm at today. We needed to watch May and June and July to see just how barren this thing truly is. Now, for the past few weeks, I feel as if the conversation's getting away from me, and the conversation at times is too centered on pitching. Now, don't get me wrong. The only way this thing is going to turn around is by acquiring or drafting and developing better pitching. Only way you win at the big league level is by pitching. Royals, brutal. They gave up a franchise record 7 home runs today. Five men took the hill for your boys in blue. All five of them gave up a big fly. You gave up 15 freaking runs. Yeah, no doubt they need more pitching. But far too often on this show, the conversation's been something similar to, well, how many starting pitchers do they need? Well, I think they need one. Well, I think they need two. Some people think they need three. Whatever that number is, there's two additional bats, four additional relievers, extra depth for the rotation. 15-2 is the final score. Nothing good to say about this game, but again, let it serve as a reminder of just how long we have to go. No, just how much work this organization has to do. For as much as we love the guys donning the Royals uniform on a daily basis, you better not feel emotionally tied to many of them, because not many of them have a leg to stand on when making the case that I belong on the team in 2024. Five guys total, maybe. There's a 26-man roster. Royals lose by 13 runs. 49 games below 500. Pacing for 111 losses, by far the worst mark in franchise history. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, go ahead and brace yourself. Final score from Seattle, Mariners 15. Royals scored twice. The record is now 41-90. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. That's the same number for our Jays Southland Tow Service text line. The loss went to Jordan Lyles. He's now 3-15 this season. Lyles gave up 7 runs in the third inning, didn't come back out for the fourth. Final line, 3 innings, 7 runs on 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He's got 5-6 starts left in the season. If he can stay healthy, he'll make another 5 or 6 starts. It does not appear as if Cody Tapp's going to be buying that bottle of champagne for 610 Sports Radio and all the listeners. If you missed it, Cody made a bet that Lyles would not reach 6 wins this season. He's at 3. He's got about 6 starts left, so I guess it's still possible. But it looks like the Tapp checking account will not be tapped for a few $100 for that champagne party this offseason. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Gabe from Independence writes in, Vern, when does accountability go in on Jordan Lyles? We can defend all we want, we can talk about his contract and him eating innings, but he is the reason for how many home runs given up, how many losses? That's a fair point, Gabe. 15 losses have been laid at the feet of Jordan Lyles, but he's been responsible for at least that many. Home runs, he's given up the second most in Major League Baseball. I think he's at 33 after giving up 3 in the third inning. Lyles' ERA is now 6.51. That's the highest in Major League Baseball. The next closest qualified starting pitcher is Lance Lynn. His ERA is almost a full run lower than Jordan Lyles. Look, I'm not going to sit here and excuse what Jordan Lyles did today. He lost the game. No doubt about it. Lay this one right at the feet of Jordan Lyles. Wasn't good enough. Wasn't able to give you length, performance, leadership, none of it. Awful job today by Jordan Lyles. 7 earned runs for the third time this season. This is his, what, second worst start of the season. The only one that was worse was also a 7-run effort, but he didn't even make it 3 innings. Game against the Brewers back in May. No doubt about it, Jordan Lyles was brutal. Jordan Lyles has been bad more often than average. Average more often than good. But I don't know what you mean when you say accountability. Because DFAing him, cutting him, paying him to go away makes absolutely no sense. Now, you want to talk about accountability? Sure, yes. And we'll hear from Jordan Lyles coming up in a moment. I'm sure he's wearing this. I'm sure he's owning it. But I don't know what accountability means. You know, what I want, because I see people on Twitter and the text line, they need to get rid of Jordan Lyles, DFA him, eat the contract, send him on his way. Okay. For who? Okay. The issue isn't getting rid of Jordan Lyles. The issue is finding someone better than Jordan Lyles. You know, when we talk about the offseason and the need to sign 2 big-name starting pitchers, it's not to replace Jordan Lyles. It's to fill out a freaking rotation. I understand. Listen, there's no excusing the performance today of Jordan Lyles. No doubt about it. The issue with the 2023 Kansas City Royals is not Jordan Lyles. It's the bottom 20 players on the roster. It's just not good enough. But as I say that, it's not as if the organization was presenting this team as if it was good enough to compete. This was always a team that was going to grind through the summer. Jordan Lyles was always a guy that was just going to eat innings. I know it ticks you off when I say it, but Jordan Lyles has earned the contract. It just goes to show you how expensive starting pitchers are. So if the Royals are going to dig themselves out of this miserable hole they find themselves in as an organization, you're going to have to pay big. Monetarily for a free agent or in prospect capital in a trade. Let's head inside the Royals clubhouse. Let's hear what today's losing pitcher, Jordan Lyles, had to say as he spoke after the game to Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Located pitches, a couple walks that obviously I wish I could have back. And then, yeah, obviously it's steamrolled and got out of hand.
The big inning has been, you've dealt with that a lot this season. What's the key to being able to kind of hold them to lower damage, I guess?
If I knew that answer, you wouldn't be asking it. Probably to simplify things and be in the zone just a little bit more aggressively to point my finger right away. But we'll look at the film. Look at the tape and see where we can improve. But I understand what you're saying. Those big innings have cost me and us this year.
Andy Rogers there of MLB.com asking the question to Jordan Lyles. Back to the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. Chris in Top City. Vern, so many people clamoring for Matt Quatrero to take Jordan Lyles out of the game. But when your bullpen is full of Jordan Lyles, what in the hell is he supposed to do? That's a very good point. And that's the point that you're making better than me, but that's the point I'm trying to make. Okay, yeah, pull Jordan Lyles out of the game, out of the rotation, off the roster. Do you have someone better? The answer is no. Now, Chris Bubich, Daniel Lynch, sure, they could have been, but they're both hurt. Ryan Yarbrough was, but you traded him. You know, Zach Greinke, I don't know. Is he better? I don't think so. Is he worse? I don't think so. Brad Keller, I don't know what's going on with Brad Keller. Now, tomorrow you're throwing Alec Marsh to the hill. You know, Angel Zerpa, they've given him a look as a starting pitcher. There just aren't available options right now. Now, Jordan Lyles is here to stay. The goal needs to be in the offseason not to DFA Jordan Lyles, Twitter, or X, or whatever it is. It's not about getting rid of Jordan Lyles. It's about accumulating so much talent that you force Jordan Lyles out. Oh, man, we went out and signed all these starting pitchers, and Chandler Champlain pitched his tail off in spring, and Daniel Lynch looks healthy. Hey, you know what? Jordan Lyles isn't one of our five best options for the rotation. You can cut him. How Michael Garcia made Hunter Dozier an easier cut. How Vinny Pasquantino made Carlos Santana an easier cut. Make Jordan Lyles an easy cut. He's not right now. That's the issue. He's not the issue. The fact that he's so vital to this team is the issue. Text line's always there for you, 913-586-7610. Royals drop game two in Seattle. They hope to avoid a sweep tomorrow afternoon with Alec Marsh on the hill going up against a monster in Luis Castillo. I told you yesterday, you better get this opener because it's not going to get any easier in Seattle. When you don't win with Brady Singer, it's just like when you don't win with Cole Reagans. It feels as if things are about to spiral and spiral quickly. Well, you just lost by 13. Quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Deep to straightaway right field. Drew Waters hits one up and out, and it puts the Royals on the board. A 403-foot solo shot. And the Royals now trail 8-1.
Yeah, made it a 7-run game. The good old days. Back when we had hope. Back when they were only down 7. Royals lose by 13. Drew Waters there, his 8th home run. He takes a 97-mile-per-hour fastball from Logan Gilbert down and in. And as Jake Eisenberg described, 403 feet over the right field wall. 15-2 is the final score. Drew Waters on base twice. Only he and Michael Garcia can make that claim. Garcia with an RBI double in the 8th inning and a walk. Drew Waters with a 1-out solo home run in the 5th and a walk. Waters, by the way, since the All-Star break, has an OPS of 771. That's not too shabby. Let's go to the text line, the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Rally Mantis is wondering why MJ Melendez didn't pitch. I thought Matt Duffy did just fine. I want a veteran on the hill. I want a egoless veteran on the hill. Now, even that might not be enough, because I remember Michael A. Taylor pitching for the team last season. Now, I don't think anyone that's been around Michael A. Taylor would say that he has a big ego, a normal-sized ego, and yet he got up on the hill as a position player pitching, and he tried to let it eat. Remember, he was running it up there 90-some-odd miles per hour. Not Matt Duffy. Nah, Matt Duffy comes out 18 pitches, gives up a home run to Teoscar Hernandez. He's not trying to fool anyone. He's given up laser beams all over the diamond, but somehow gets out of that 8th inning, only allowing one run. Jordan Lyles gave up 7 runs in his 3 innings of work. Jackson Coar gave up 4 runs in his 2 innings of work. Angel Zerpa gave up a home run to the big dumper, and Tucker Davidson gave up a 2-run home run to Marlowe, the backup center fielder, the guy that came in to replace Julio Rodriguez. That's how we arrive at our 15-2 final score. Raj from the Ozarks writes in, Vern, losing Bobby Witt Jr. will be a byproduct of having a really non-competitive team. The empty farm system is scary. J.J. Piccolo needs to become good friends with the general manager in Baltimore because they are loaded. Yes, they are. And they, like the Dodgers over the past half decade, are going to start to run into, man, what a wonderful issue. But an issue of, we have too many good players on our 40-man roster. We're going to have to start DFAing good players that we know are not going to make it through waivers. So yeah, Raj, to go along with those lines, and look, JJ knows this. Everyone knows how loaded the Orioles farm system is. Shoot, everyone knows how loaded their big league club is right now, even though they just took a big hit losing their closer. And that's how the Royals, at least for the time being, are going to have to win in the margins, right? You see the Dodgers are running out of room. They're not going to be able to hang on to Scott Barlow. You pounce. You see the Texas Rangers have spent so much money on their starting pitchers that Cole Reagans has become an afterthought. You pounce. You see the Atlanta Braves have so many spectacular outfielders and Michael Harris, the second, comes out of nowhere all of a sudden. Drew Waters is expendable. You pounce. So yeah, Raj, no doubt about it. Teams like Atlanta, teams like the Dodgers, the Orioles, teams that are loaded 1 through 40, I'll take the guy that's holding on to the 40th roster spot with the Dodgers. I have a feeling he's better than the guy right now in roster spot 31 for the Royals. Now, as far as losing Bobby, if and when that happens, now we know the Royals have him under team control for at least another 4 seasons. You got 4 more cracks at it with Bobby Witt Jr. I have to agree with Raj, though. If something is going to push Bobby out of Kansas City, it's going to be the inability to create the type of legacy that a player of that talent wants to create. I've said it before, I've said it about Brady Singer. These guys have been good. These guys have pitched and played in big games, bright lights, big announcers, a lot of attention. They had that stuff in high school and college. They expected to get to the big leagues. Sure, it's a dream come true, but they're not floored when they made it to the big leagues. It's not like you and I. It's not some 50th round draft pick. No, Bobby was the number 2 overall draft pick out of high school. Brady Singer was the best pitcher in college his final season. These guys expect to be big leaguers. And when you're already expecting to be in the show, well, then you got grand ideas. Large dreams and high hopes. Hall of Fame, legacy type of stuff. So getting to the big leagues, that shine is worn off for Singer and already for Bobby Witt Jr. It's about winning. Winning, playing in October, thriving and shining.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly 2 decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Deep to straightaway right field. Drew Waters hits one up and out, and it puts the Royals on the board. A 403-foot solo shot. And the Royals now trail 8-1.
Yeah, made it a 7-run game. The good old days. Back when we had hope. Back when they were only down 7. Royals lose by 13. Drew Waters there, his 8th home run. He takes a 97-mile-per-hour fastball from Logan Gilbert down and in. And as Jake Eisenberg described, 403 feet over the right field wall. 15-2 is the final score. Drew Waters on base twice. Only he and Michael Garcia can make that claim. Garcia with an RBI double in the eighth inning and a walk. Drew Waters with a one-out solo home run in the fifth and a walk. Waters, by the way, since the All-Star break, has an OPS of 771. That's not too shabby. Let's go to the text line, the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Rally Mantis is wondering why MJ Melendez didn't pitch. I thought Matt Duffy did just fine. I want a veteran on the hill. I want a egoless veteran on the hill. Now, even that might not be enough, because I remember Michael A. Taylor pitching for the team last season. Now, I don't think anyone that's been around Michael A. Taylor would say that he has a big ego, a normal-sized ego, and yet he got up on the hill as a position player pitching, and he tried to let it eat. Remember, he was running it up there 90-some-odd miles per hour. Not Matt Duffy. Nah, Matt Duffy comes out 18 pitches, gives up a home run to Teoscar Hernandez. He's not trying to fool anyone. He's given up laser beams all over the diamond, but somehow gets out of that eighth inning, only allowing one run. Jordan Lyles gave up 7 runs in his 3 innings of work. Jackson Coar gave up 4 runs in his 2 innings of work. Angel Zerpa gave up a home run to the big dumper, and Tucker Davidson gave up a 2-run home run to Marlowe, the backup center fielder, the guy that came in to replace Julio Rodriguez. That's how we arrive at our 15-2 final score. Raj from the Ozarks writes in, Vern, losing Bobby Witt Jr. will be a byproduct of having a really non-competitive team. The empty farm system is scary. J.J. Piccolo needs to become good friends with the general manager in Baltimore because they are loaded. Yes, they are. And they, like the Dodgers over the past half decade, are going to start to run into, what a wonderful issue. But an issue of, we have too many good players on our 40-man roster. We're going to have to start DFAing good players that we know are not going to make it through waivers. So yeah, Raj, to go along with those lines, and look, JJ knows this. Everyone knows how loaded the Orioles farm system is. Shoot, everyone knows how loaded their big league club is right now, even though they just took a big hit losing their closer. And that's how the Royals, at least for the time being, are going to have to win in the margins, right? You see the Dodgers are running out of room. They're not going to be able to hang on to Scott Barlow. You pounce. You see the Texas Rangers have spent so much money on their starting pitchers that Cole Reagans has become an afterthought. You pounce. You see the Atlanta Braves have so many spectacular outfielders, and Michael Harris, the second, comes out of nowhere all of a sudden. Drew Waters is expendable. You pounce. So yeah, Raj, no doubt about it. Teams like Atlanta, teams like the Dodgers, the Orioles, teams that are loaded 1 through 40, I'll take the guy that's holding on to the 40th roster spot with the Dodgers. I have a feeling he's better than the guy right now in roster spot 31 for the Royals. Now, as far as losing Bobby, if and when that happens, now we know the Royals have him under team control for at least another 4 seasons. You got 4 more cracks at it with Bobby Witt Jr. I have to agree with Raj, though. If something is going to push Bobby out of Kansas City, it's going to be the inability to create the type of legacy that a player of that talent wants to create. I've said it before, I've said it about Brady Singer. These guys have been good. These guys have pitched and played in big games, bright lights, big announcers, a lot of attention. They had that stuff in high school and college. They expected to get to the big leagues. Sure, it's a dream come true, but they're not floored when they made it to the big leagues. It's not like you and I. It's not some 50th round draft pick. No, Bobby was the number two overall draft pick out of high school. Brady Singer was the best pitcher in college his final season. These guys expect to be big leaguers. And when you're already expecting to be in the show, well, then you got grand ideas. Large dreams and high hopes. Hall of Fame, legacy type of stuff. So getting to the big leagues, that shine is worn off for Singer and already for Bobby Witt Jr. It's about winning. Winning, playing in October, thriving and shining in October, collecting rings, collecting all-star games, collecting notoriety, sure, collecting some money along the way. But no, building a legacy. And right now, the Royals are on pace to have the worst season in the franchise's history. That's not the type of history that Bobby Witt and Brady Singer nor Salvador Perez are interested in. But even Salvi, it's a different story. Salvi didn't have the background that Bobby and Brady did. Salvi's already won a World Series. He's played in all those big moments. World Baseball Classic, All-Star Game, World Series. He's done it all. Brady and Bobby, not so much. So yeah, if there's anything that's going to be the impetus for his departure, it's going to be the losing. You got 4 years left. 4 years to convince him to sign long-term or 4 years to put a winner around him. What can you do first? Personally, I think you can convince him to stay longer. With the one thing that speaks to everyone. Cash. Money. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. You give him a 10, 12-year contract. You give him an opt-out after 5 or 6. So, yeah, he's making a commitment to you, but he also allows himself to hit free agency around 29. I think it's easier, or let me put it this way. I think you can convince Bobby to stay here long-term before you can put a winner around him. I think you can convince him in the next year and a half. I think it's going to take at least 2 years to put a winner around him. Text line's always open for you, 913-586-7610. Dan and KCK says he's got some faith in J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman to turn this thing around. Henry from Topeka's wondering what happened to Raid the Zone. Yeah, 3 walks for Jordan Lyles. Jackson Kowar issued 3 walks. Tucker Davidson issued a free pass. Yeah, the only guys that didn't issue a base on balls, Angel Zerpa, and the position player that took the mound. Well, 15-2 the final score. I think it's easy to understand why when you hear about the free passes, the inability to get really anything going offensively outside of a Drew Waters home run. Just a very forgettable and disappointing afternoon at the ballpark. 15-2 is the final score, so now we look to Alec Marsh tomorrow, hoping that he can stop the losing and salvage a game in Seattle. Alec Marsh squares off with fellow right-hander Luis Castillo. Pack a lunch, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to get any easier tomorrow. Those fastballs running in at 97 from Castillo. Boy, oh boy. Hey, Isaac Deere, thank you very much for your help. Great job back there today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Hopefully the game's a little bit better. Enjoy the rest of your night, Kansas City. Take care. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. 7th strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.